In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Hallelujah, glory to God, may his name be praised, his name is Jesus. Yesterday we had the responsorial psalm from Psalm 40. I have waited and waited for the Lord, and he stooped down toward me. He heard my cry. He took me out of the miry pit, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. This means everything to me because this was my conversion. The Lord said to me, and I had been waiting a long time because I was doubting God, and I said, you've got to show yourself to me because I'm going to be teaching faith in the parochial school, and the children will know that I am just not honest. And I waited and waited and waited that God would do something, and then I made up my mind, I guess I'll be a hypocrite. I'll preach to them as if I believed it. But you know what? Just before I started school, I was invited to a wonderful Antioch retreat, and I experienced the Lord. The Lord said to me, you can be in the deepest mud hole, but I'll always be there to pull you out. And he said to me, how much more glory can you give me than these wildflowers? I said, much, Lord. And then I said, you can have my whole life. And I felt the river of God flow through me. Oh, yes, sacrifice and offerings you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then I said, behold, I come. I said to the Lord, behold, I come. Behold, you can have everything. Take my whole life. Behold, I come. In the written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will, O God. We want to align ourselves by the grace of God to the will of God. We want to align ourselves by the grace of God to the will of God. O God, you are my delight, and your law is within me. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. And you know, little did I know in 1968 that I would be speaking to hundreds of people over the radio, maybe even thousands of people. I have no idea. But I'm speaking to you because you are the one that matters. It's not the multitude. It's to you. That's why this ministry has been favored by God, because I speak to you, and you hear me, and you listen, and you are blessed by the grace of God. That means you need to pray for me. I tell you, God put a new song in my mouth, a hymn to God, a hymn of praise. But then he said, you know, I want your life. I want your life. And I just said, Lord, you can have it all. I've made a mess out of it, but you can have it all. And that's the wonderful, wonderful experience of being born again. Catholics call it second conversion. I don't care what you call it, as long as it happens to you. You become a new creation. I'm looking at John's Gospel, John 1:29-34. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. My Lord, any Jewish person that was standing at the Jordan River would know exactly what John was talking about. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Then I look at the 12th chapter of Exodus, and the Word of God says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, just like Jesus, a male, just like Jesus, of the first year, and you shall take it out of the sheep or out of the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door within, and they shall eat the lamb, and they shall eat the flesh of that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head and his legs and his shall be on. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remaineth until morning shall be burned, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girt and your shoes on your feet, because why? They were in store for... they shall eat it, your staff in hand, and shall eat it with haste. This is the Lord's Passover, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now we see John the Baptist calling Jesus the Lamb of God. This is the Passover Lamb. Do you see what happened is that the blood of the Lamb in the Old Testament, when the angel of death saw the blood, he passed over and he killed all the firstborn of Egypt. I tell you, Jesus is the Lamb of God. His blood saves us. His blood takes away our sins. His blood takes away our iniquities. You see, Jesus is the Lamb of God, and this Lamb of God was from all eternity. Jesus Christ crucified from the foundation of the world. This Jesus Christ is the Lamb. And what did they do with the Lamb, people? They ate the Lamb. And what do we do at Mass? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. What do we do with the Lamb? Just like the Passover, we eat the Lamb. Each celebration of the Eucharist is like a Passover meal. And what do we do with the Lamb? We don't make lamb cookies, you see. We eat the Lamb, the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. Oh, that's why you've got to come to him. You've got to give your life to him. He is the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. And now Jesus was born after John the Baptist. But you know what? He existed before him. Why? Because he was always the Son of God from all eternity in heaven. I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. Oh yes, John the Baptist speaks of Jesus alone. John the Baptist is a sign saying, I baptize with water, but there's one in your midst that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John testified further saying, I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. And I did not know him. He did not know that he was Messiah. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that Jesus is the Son of God. He was warned beforehand when he came baptizing that the Lord said, "The one that you see the Spirit of the Lord come upon, it is he that will baptize with the Holy Spirit." We need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need that God would pour out his Spirit upon us in a mighty way. We need that that Spirit would change us from one degree of glory to the next. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That is one of the greatest events in my life, when he baptized me with the Holy Spirit and I started speaking in other languages. I didn't even know that I was going to speak in other languages, but he baptized me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. John baptized for repentance, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I tell you that at confirmation, this should be the experience of the people who are confirmed, that they experience the Pentecost experience. But you know what? Unless the gospel is preached to the confirmandi, and unless they're ready to receive the gospel, nothing happens outwardly. Something happens inwardly, but they don't even know it. Oh yes, a mark that God puts on their soul, that they have received confirmation, which is really the completion of baptism. I tell you, my friends, that Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. John heard from heaven, "You who see the one that has comes to you to be baptized, the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, it is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and he is the Son of God." We took the reading yesterday from the first letter to the Corinthians. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He is not the apostle that the apostles joined to the rank of apostle. It was God's sovereign move in the Damascus Road. On the Damascus Road, my friend Paul became an apostle, but don't stop there. He went to the leaders of the church, Peter and James, and make sure that he is an apostle, because he wanted to make sure that he was teaching what they were teaching. And you know what? He was. I tell you, Paul is an apostle by the will of God, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Jesus Christ, you who have been called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These Corinthian people were really a messy people. They had all things wrong with them. They would say, "I'm for Paul, I'm for Peter, I'm for this one, I'm for that one." Paul says to them, "Who was crucified for you?" You have to be for Christ, not for Paul, not for Peter, but for Jesus Christ. You have to be for him. Then one was sleeping with his mother-in-law, and then what happened? Paul said, "This is evil, you cannot do this." Then he gave us in 1 Corinthians the whole Eucharistic experience, that it is the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, my friends, every time the Corinthians did something wrong, Paul corrected it so that we have the right teaching. We would never have the right teaching unless we had sinful Corinthians. Oh yes, they were people that wanted the next new thing. They wanted something new. God has something new for us in the Holy Spirit, but they were looking for big new things outwardly. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he makes all things new. You see, they wanted something else. Then Paul talks to the Corinthian community about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that these gifts are given for the upbuilding of the church. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13-14. Then Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus, that if Christ be not raised, we're still in our sin, and we are the worst of all people. But you know what? Christ has been raised, and we are his people, and we await a resurrection body. I tell you, Thank God for the messy Corinthians, because Paul was able to teach us the whole story by their mistakes, by their sins. Paul was able to tell us what we are to do and how we are to do it. It would be a good thing for you to read the letter to the Corinthians. He said, Before I came to you, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not any new knowledge, but the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the weakness of God, which is stronger than the strength of men, which is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the cross of Jesus Christ. So Paul was able to tell the Corinthian community that the cross was what it's all about. It's all about the blood of Jesus that takes away our sin. It's all about the blood of Jesus that incorporates us into His family by faith and baptism. I'm looking at 1 Samuel, I believe, 16. And the Lord, let me just tell you what happened now with Samuel. The Lord was provoked because they wanted a king, and they sinned against him because he's the king. Now Samuel is the priest, prophet, the seer, and we see Saul doing something that he shouldn't be doing. He offers the sacrifice. He is not the priest. He didn't wait for Samuel. As a result, God's presence left Saul. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse's house, the Benjaminite, the Bethlehemite, and I have provided him a king among his sons. In other words, we see Samuel going to the house of Jesse that's going to anoint somebody a king in place of Saul, because Saul did this. He offered the sacrifice, and he was chosen to be king, and God is the only king. So God is going to anoint another person in Jesse's house. Who is it now? And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with you, and say, I am going to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint unto me the one I tell you. And Samuel did exactly what the Lord spoke. He came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. They said, Are you coming here peacefully? They're afraid. They're afraid, you know. Well, they know their sin. And he said, I come peacefully. I am come here to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass that when they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, Surely this is the Lord's anointed before me. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on his height, or on his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Let me just tell you, that's reality. God does not look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Does the heart bend unto him? You see, even Samuel got mixed up. He saw this handsome man. He said, you know what? He must be the one I'm going to anoint. And the Lord says, no, I see the inward parts of people. I see where their heart is directed. That's why God chooses the foolish of the world to confound the wise, as it says in Corinthians. God chooses the foolish of the world to confound the wise. Why did he choose me? I have no idea, other than I am part of the foolish of the world to confound the wise. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord has not chosen any of these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are these all your children? And he said, There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said unto him, Send him and fetch him to me, for he will not sit down till he comes here. And he set and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, For this is he. This is David. The David who's watching the sheep. David who is the shepherd. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubles you. Let our Lord now command your servant, which are before you, to seek out a man who is cunning player on the harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon you, that he shall play with his hand, and you will be well. So guess who they choose? They find little David, who sings psalms to the Lord, and who has a little harp. And when Saul is experiencing demonic experience, there we have David playing music so that Saul's heart would be comforted. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is cunning in playing, and mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messages unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent him by David to his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. We see God gets his work done. Can I just tell you that? The Lord knows how to get his work done. David was anointed king, and yet the Spirit of God left Saul, and now David's in the midst of the house of Saul as a player of a harp that will console Saul's heart. We see that this David has the Spirit of the Lord upon him. The Spirit of God rushed upon him and didn't leave him. The Spirit was on him. I tell you, with us it's different. The Spirit is not only on us, the Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus says that in the 14th chapter of St. John. The Spirit of God now is with you, but he shall be in you. Oh, yes. So we have David flooded with God's mercy and playing music for Saul, who is literally gets out of his mind. He goes cuckoo. And you know what? The blessing left Saul. The last thing we need to happen in our lives is that God's blessing leaves us. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to me, is God's peace, mercy, favor leaves me. That's the worst thing that could happen to me. There's nothing worse that can happen to me, that God's favor is upon me. Just this week, people came up to me and said, one person said, many years ago, I was walking like an old man because my back was really, really out of commission. And he said, I walked like an old man. Now, this is a young man. It's still a young man. And he said, you prayed over me, and I was immediately healed. I said, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Isn't God wonderful? Then another guy came with a woman and said, you know, I had meningitis and you prayed with me, and the next day the meningitis was gone. Isn't that wonderful? The favor of God. The favor of God. And we have people in the congregation who've been praying for people, and they've been healed by the people who are praying in the congregation. Yes, miracles are happening at Holy Rosary. It is the favor of God. And I tell you, I need the favor of God to continue. I cannot do this work without the favor of God. We see that David had the favor of God, that Saul sinned in offering the sacrifice, not waiting for Samuel, and for really becoming king when God wanted himself to be king. But we see God choosing another person where the favor of God is on him. And it's funny that, you know, even Samuel looked at Jesse's sons and thought, this one is he because he's handsome. This one is he because he's tall. This one is he because he speaks well. But the scriptures tells us, and it's true, God does not look at the outward appearance, but God looks at what's in the heart. Let me tell you, God doesn't look at what you look like today. He looks at your heart, that your heart bend before him. He looks at my heart, that my heart bend before him. That's what he looks at, not what I look like, not if I'm heavy, not if I'm light. God sees exactly who we are, and he gives us what he wants to give us. I don't know about time. Let me see, because my watch stopped. Let me see. Glory to God. I ask you who listen to me, please help me pay my bills. It costs us $100,000 a year to be on WEZE and WROL. The mailing address is easy. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The worst thing that could happen to me is to lose the favor of God. You too. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.